This is a replay of the Tuesday night, April 25th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we have 3 hours to spend together. Probably have 3 hours of complaint letters to share with you, most of which just have me laughing, which after a while is all you can do. Now, what started me to think about this, other than personal experience in the last 24 hours, and I'll get to that, is that James, sender of over 3,822 links, it's a little exaggeration, but not as much as you might think. After doing that, I realized that the overwhelming majority are under the people behaving badly category, but to the point that, and this part is actually serious and sad, that people are doing things that are unthinkable. And we were talking about that the other night with some of the crimes that we looked at. But it was at least a dozen of these stories in a row. And as I started to read one after another, here's three teens killing a pregnant woman who was due to give birth in several days, mistaken identity, and a man dousing seven housemates in gasoline and lighting them on fire. Then we have a woman who tried to stitch up her fiancé after she stabbed him to death. That's right, she was sewing him up. And, another man who called 911 to report that he stabbed his doctor wife to death after becoming enraged that she was out with a friend who was drunk. All right, so on and on it goes. And like I say, these are not funny stories. They are just horrifying. But I keep coming back to, I really believe that most people are operating on their last nerve. And part of it is absolutely the lack of customer service. And it is impossible to avoid this. It doesn't matter if you're calling a medical facility or if you're calling a cell company. God forbid, or the cable company or one of those. Notoriously bad, of course. But whoever it is, you're going to be interacting with people that previously, in your former life, you talked to in person or on the phone. But increasingly, some of the deals you get where the prices are too good to be true, well, they're done at the expense of any form of customer service at all. And so I'm not going to name the carrier or give you any identifying information, and I'm not going to belabor the story. I'm just going to cut to the chase, because this morning at about 2 a.m., finally, the piece de resistance of bad customer service. Now, let me back up and say I've been trying to solve this problem for a month, literally. I've spent conservatively 20 hours on chat with this, and it just deteriorates from bad to worse. Well, finally, last night, after about an hour and a half, and I realized that the chat people are not trained to do anything except saying, "No worries, we'll make you satisfied." I don't even want to think how they'll do that. Obviously, English is a second language, but be that as it may, finally got to the point where they were escalating my problem, so they told me, and that I would hear from somebody within hours, so they assured me. And all I said was, "We'll see." Well, they were right. Actually, they weren't. I didn't hear from somebody. I got the automated email. And the automated email, and this is the part, I am not making this up, said, "Kindly upload a screenshot of your account discrepancies and send it to us on Facebook or Twitter." I'm like, this is not April Fool's Day. This has got to be a joke. Actually, it wasn't. They claim it's a private message. Yeah, I'm going to send my personal details to a message on Facebook or Twitter, regardless of who could or couldn't see it. At first I was mad, but then within moments, I just had to laugh. I said, this is not possible. And that's the way they do business. And that tied in, like I say, with what I see every day. And you see it in people's driving habits, probably more than anything else, where people are, I always say they're not violating traffic laws, they're violating the laws of physics. But rather than aggressive, most of them are plumb stupid. But behind all that, I think, is a palpable level of frustration because people are not dealing with other people. And increasingly, when companies are going to be the low price leader, they're doing so at the expense of human interaction. And I don't think you can avoid it entirely. Well, in this one particular company, they're proud that they avoid it entirely. They tell you, you will never talk to a rep on the phone. You will never hear from a rep in person. It will all be done through chat or online social platforms. You gotta be kidding me. Needless to say, their approval rating is, it owes points. But again, I'm not sure how this is resolved or if, but I do know that it seems every day I'm seeing more and more people who are acting as if they're on their last nerve, and they are. So I figured we'd lighten the mood by reading some of the best complaint letters, because some of them are just classic. I've been looking for one all afternoon that I haven't found yet, a poor traveler in a soap, but I'll get to that. However, I have found the unwanted tour of the Caribbean and the Virgin Airlines food. So we'll do that as well. And obviously people with a sense of humor after all sorts of horrors. So all that and more will be coming up. But of course, your calls trump everything every night. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And Leah is talking about a trial. So what trial are we talking about, Leah?
Oh, the Lori Vallow Daybill trial.
Oh, and what's the latest on that?
Well, today her sister got on the stand and testified for the prosecution.
Yeah, I heard that was going to happen.
And they were both crying, evidently, in court. And what she was testifying to was this conversation they had had. It was a jailhouse recording. And she had been accusing her of not protecting her children. And and she said, "What were you doing frolicking on the beach in Hawaii while your children were dead?" And she was, proclaiming her innocence and everything to her sister on the phone. And they were both crying. And evidently her whole family was there today, I guess. That's what they said. Her cousins, her uncle, everybody was there. Her brother is dead. He died of a heart, pulmonary embolism or something.
Yes.
After he killed her ex-husband.
Well, I know. And you look at the charges for Lori Vallow Daybill, and of course she's accused of murdering her two children and conspiring to murder her fifth husband's first wife.
First one, right.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you do need some type of a flow chart of what do they call it, ancestry, to figure this out.
Yeah, a scorecard. But
now here's what I don't fully understand, and I heard that they were going to play this phone call. What prisoner talks on the phone not realizing that everything they say is going to be recorded and can be used against them.
Stupid. I don't know. How do you go when you ask? You don't talk. She didn't talk to any of the reporters that were bothering them in Hawaii. I remember them going up there and asking her where your children were, where your children are and everything. And she didn't talk to any one of them. But then she gets in jail and she starts talking on the phone, knowing it's recorded.
Right, right. Now, granted, most of what she's saying on the phone are denials, but nonetheless, and of course her sister just unloaded on her on that call. Yeah. But you would think that at the very least, Lori would have terminated the call after the second word out of her sister's mouth.
You would think, but some people just aren't that smart.
Well, that's the understatement of 2023.
I know.
I guess the sister initially had supported her sister Lori, and that that's part of her ire, obviously, because it is a betrayal when you're doing that and you firmly believe in your friend or family.
She had to testify for the prosecution.
Yeah,
that's why the tears. They said everybody was crying, the whole family. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, they said it was really heart-wrenching in the courtroom today.
Just so unbelievable.
That's as far as that goes. Now the soap opera is My Life.
Oh yes. Oh, yes, I'm ready.
Okay, you remember the letter from the Mormons, from the daughter?
Yes, of course.
Albert's daughter?
Yes.
It didn't come from her.
What do you mean?
She didn't send the letter. Her name is on it, but she didn't send it. So the Mormons just sent it.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait
a minute. You're saying Mormons. I thought that you told me she was
I'm sorry. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Has she switched religions already? Okay, so...
She showed up at his work the other day with a new boyfriend, and he said he had tattoos all over the place, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. So I texted her the letter, and I said, did you send this? And she said unequivocally, no.
Well, who did?
Just someone from the Jehovah's Witnesses who had her name. It's bizarre. We don't know.
Yeah, you don't know whether it's a congregation official who is trying to and the letter, as I recall, was an invite to you to witness her doing something.
Yeah.
Right.
To witness something at Kingdom Hall.
Right. Right. Maybe indoctrination or whatever. You wouldn't call it that, but you know what I mean.
I know you wouldn't. But
whatever. Some official ceremony of sort. That's just fascinating. I'll tell you what. See, if it were me, I'd be going. I'd be saying, I'm not missing this for the world.
No, I don't want to get anywhere near Kingdom Hall.
Oh, man. I want to know who sent the letter.
I'd like to go dressed as a Smurf, maybe.
Oh, God. Well, you got to be dressed in such a way that they'll let you in the door. But here is the deal. I want to know who sent this letter.
Yeah, I don't know. We sent a reply back when it happened. Because we sent it to her, and we sent it to the address on there because we don't have her new address. She's very secretive.
Okay, so the address, this is good, the address on there, have you looked up the address to find out to whom it actually belongs?
It belongs to Kingdom Hall. It says right on there, Kingdom Hall.
Okay, so then it did come from Kingdom Hall.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that interesting? I don't know.
It's bizarre.
But anyway, she's not interested in you being there.
It's scary that they have our address.
Well... She must have disclosed it somehow.
I don't know, because I thought it was weird that they signed it Ms. T. Smith and not her whole name, you know?
Well, come on. This is Albert's child, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his daughter is not going to write a letter signing it Ms. T. Smith, so right there. unless her name was Misty. But anyhow, in this case...
That's why I thought she had joined a cult. I thought she was distancing herself, you know?
Well, it's hard to say what she's doing because she didn't write the letter. So
I know now, but I didn't then, you know?
Oh, man.
That's why I was freaking out.
So now I'm curious. Is this something that for every celebration of whatever, they reach out to family members? And how did they know who her father was? She had to tell them.
How did they know? How did they even know who she was?
Well, because she's going to be a member of the flock. She told
maybe her boyfriend. Maybe her new boyfriend is a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know.
But I mean,
maybe he put her name in.
Obviously, well, she is having the ceremony, right? Did you confirm that?
No, she has nothing to do with it.
Oh, wait a minute. So what you're saying is, she's saying she knows nothing about the religion, nothing about the ceremony, nothing about the letter?
Nothing.
This is good. All right.
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, man. It sounds like something I would do to somebody. I wonder who wrote this. Now, obviously, anybody can put Kingdom Hall as a return address.
Well, I sent a letter back to them in her name saying, "Dear Tanya, we can't come."
Well,
sorry, but we can't come.
Right,
we'll support you in anything else you want to do, but we can't come.
They might not have sent the letter either. It's entirely possible that this is a
print. Well, it didn't get returned. My letter didn't get returned.
Well, no, of course it didn't. Your letter went to Kingdom Hall, but that doesn't mean that the letter came from Kingdom Hall. Your letter went where it was supposed to go, but they may be just as flummoxed by your letter as you were by theirs. Like, let's say for a moment that that Albert's daughter had someone in their life, you know, sort of like me. And I, for whatever reason, decided that it was time for get even. And so I go ahead and, you know, this is almost as good as, you know, signing people up for hundreds of offers and all that. But anyway, you go ahead.
Well, I did that one time. I had someone's phone service canceled at home.
That's really dirty pool. But in any event,
really bad.
It is entirely possible that there's somebody who has it in for this this woman, or who just wants to have a good time, who has come up with the whole scheme. The church may be just as clueless as you. If I were you, I would at least call them to find out if they generated the letter.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, do that, because I want to know. Expiring minds want to know. My guess is... My guess is that they didn't. That this is a third party, and I wonder if they sent this out to like 37 people that Albert's daughter knows. Like, he may not be the only person who got it.
Yeah, I mean, I've texted the rest of the family and asked them, and they said no.
They did. So far, you're the only one who got the letter, but of course, you don't know all of her friends and all that. So
no.
Yeah. All right. So your next step is call the Kingdom Hall. I don't know how hard it's going to be to get an answer there, but find them somehow and ask them if they wrote the letter.
Okay.
I have a feeling they didn't.
Okay. I will.
Do you still have this letter?
Oh, yeah. And I have it. I took a picture of it and I have it on my phone, too.
Good. Can you email a copy to me?
Yes, I will.
I want to see it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah, no, there's a story here, and I don't think it's what you're expecting.
Okay, yeah. I know there's a deeper story here.
Oh, yeah.
I just
don't
know what it is.
Well, we want to find out. So I can't wait.
I got my blood work done, and I'm all clear for the Ozambic.
Well, good. Good. Well, hopefully you will give it a try and won't have any reaction to it. Start slowly.
I'm just worried about the Ozambic face now. Yeah.
Well, start slowly.
Yeah, well,
and
they're
going
to give me a B12 shot, too, so I need that.
All right. Well, keep me posted. I can't wait to hear. If you get anything tomorrow, call me back tomorrow night.
I will. I'll let you know. I will call them tomorrow.
Thank you.
We'll see if I can get a number. Yeah.
Well, I would assume they're listed.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Or else, you know, I know it sounds horrible, but drop on by. All right. Keep me posted.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Good deal. Yeah. I bet you that it didn't come. That's hilarious. All right. Well, good. Whoever it is, nice job. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-RALEIGH. We'll get to Marianne and requests, and we'll get to your requests next. In fact, right after the news, which I am bumping up against, of course, because I don't know how to tell time, but that's a longstanding problem. But we will have Barry in New Hampshire's request for Open Up the Doghouse, Two Cats Are Coming In. Coming up next on WGN Radio.
Open. Open up the doghouse. Open up the doghouse. Rover, Rover, move it over. Two cats are coming in.
Nat, you look like a man with a story.
I sure have. I told my wife we ought to save money. That's the way it's gotta be.
Oh, gotta be. Gotta be that way.
She canceled all her charge accounts, gave all the gold to me.
Well, I can't see what you did wrong. Why was your woman so upset?
Well, I put the money on a horse and he hasn't showed up yet. Open up the doghouse. Open up the doghouse. Rover, Rover, move it over. Two cats are coming in. Well, Dean, what's your problem?
There it is.
I gave my wife a beautiful fur coat.
You did?
Told her it was genuine Maine.
Rich man.
I took her out to show it off. Then we stopped in for a drink.
Oh, cocktails. Well, I know your wife was really thrilled. How come you two had a spat?
Oh, it's easy. You see, it started to rain. The coat got wet. And Mink just don't smell like that.
Timber! Open up the doghouse.
WGN Radio. Open, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is. Dean Martin and Nat King Cole. Open up the doghouse. Two cats are coming in. 1954 on Capitol. Barry in New Hampshire wanted to hear that. A fine song it is. So happy to play your request. Speaking of requests, Marianne in Chicago has some. So let's find out what they are. So Marianne, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Okay, yeah, I started out with I was going to have a couple requests, and then I heard you talking about the oxymoron of customer service.
Yes.
Actually, customer disservice.
Yes, that's what I tend to call it.
I can't tell you how many times I've had to call my cable company and tell them, please close your eyes, do not read your script, and listen to what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So one time I called, I said, our electric was out for 4 hours. It's back on, and we have no cable. Unplug the box. I said, excuse me? Unplugged all the boxes. I said, we had no electric for 4 hours. Isn't that unplugged?
Yes.
And then, you know, they keep transferring you, and then I have to say, can you transfer me to somebody back in the United States? I can't hear you.
At least you're talking to somebody. The new trend is you don't get to do that.
Oh, well, no. And then I've had to call when I had no service, and I got a recording. This is your address, and we are working in the area. You should be restored by this time. Follow the progress on the internet.
Yeah, oh, I love that. I do.
I have no internet.
Yeah. Do they think it's battery operated? That is one of my favorites.
And I'm so glad, you know, I have an actual landline, copper to my house, okay?
Yeah. Well, you think you do anyway. You won't for
long. No. I'm retired from AT&T.
No, I know, but you do understand AT&T got the right to not tell you that they're removing the copper and putting it on VoIP. You won't know it.
Well, I still have a drop coming to the house.
Yeah, I understand that, and you will that last mile, but it'll go to a VoIP node. I hate to be the one to break it to you.
Well, if I go through my cable carrier and my cable goes up, then I have no phone.
Right. I understand. Oh, I understand. That will eventually happen with your landline.
Maybe by then I'll be moved out of here.
Well, yeah, I hope I'll be off the planet, but it is happening pretty quickly.
Yeah, believe me. Well, I was going to request number one.
Okay.
That maybe you have a little Harry Belafonte.
Okay. All right.
And another song I wanted to request was, it's an instrumental, and I know I led you the wrong way the other day with Boss Skaggs, but this won't be too far off. The saxophone instrumental called Either Lil or Lily Was Here.
Okay. I don't know, but I'll find it.
It's, oh, my God, the woman that plays the saxophone, oh, she was absolutely stunning.
Okay. I will look for that. It will not be tonight. I'm all spoken for, but it will be tomorrow night.
That's okay. Then I know if I doze off, I won't miss it.
No, you won't. You won't. But you'll miss everybody else's requests, including Terry Fail's Now I Are a Millionaire. All right. Thanks. Always
okay,
good
well,
to hear from
you.
You
guys all have a good evening.
You too.
And I'll listen tonight and tomorrow.
I'm counting on it. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So we'll get to James on the South Side, sender of so many stories. But I wanted to, like I say, through the night, kind of intersperse some of these customer complaint stories because I know that you'll relate. And this first one I've had since at least 1997. And it was a story from a British traveler. It was a London hotel and one of its guests. Mr. Berman was his name. And so it was hilarious. And the reason we all know about this is the hotel submitted the letters to the London Sunday Times in the 90s. And the first one was, "Dear maid, please do not leave any more of those little bars of soap in my bathroom since I have brought my own bath size dial. Please remove the 6 unopened little bars from the shelf under the medicine chest and another 3 in the shower soap dish. They are in my way. Thank you. Dear Room 635, I am not your regular maid. She will be back tomorrow from her day off. I took the hotel 3 soaps out of the shower soap dish as you requested. The 6 bars on your shelf I took out of your way and put on top of your Kleenex dispenser in case you should change your mind. This leaves only the 3 bars I left today, which my instructions from the management are to leave 3 soaps daily. I hope this is satisfactory. Kathy, Relief Maid. Dear Maid. Apparently, Kathy did not tell you about my note to her concerning the little bars of soap. When I got back to my room this evening, I found you had added 3 little camés to the shelf under my medicine cabinet. I am going to be here in the hotel for 2 weeks, and I brought my own bath-size dial, so I won't be needing those 6 little camés which are on the shelf. They are in my way when shaving, brushing teeth, etc. Please remove them. Dear Mr. Merman, my day off was last Wednesday, so the relief maid left 3 hotel soaps, which we are instructed to do by management. I took the 6 soaps which were in your way off the shelf and put them in the soap dish where your dial was. I put your dial in the medicine cabinet for your convenience. I didn't remove the 3 complimentary soaps which are always placed inside the medicine cabinet for all new check-ins, which you did not object to when you checked in. Please let me know if I can be further of assistance. Dear Mr. Berman, the assistant manager, Mr. Netzer, informed me this morning that you called him last evening and said you were unhappy with your maid service. I've assigned a new girl to your room. I hope you will accept my apologies for any past inconveniences. If you have any future complaints, please contact me so I can give it my personal attention. Please call me between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Elaine Carmen, housekeeper. Dear Miss Carmen, it is impossible to contact you by phone since I leave the hotel for business at 7:45 and don't get back until 6 p.m. That's the reason I called last night. You're already off duty. I asked the manager if he could do anything about those little bars of soap. The new maid you assigned me must have thought I was a new check-in today since she left another 3 bars of hotel soap in my medicine cabinet, along with her regular delivery of 3 bars on the bathroom shelf. In just 5 days, here I have accumulated 24 little bars of soap. Why are you doing this to me? Dear Mr. Berman, your maid, Kathy, has been instructed to stop delivering soap to your room and remove the extra soaps. If I can be of further assistance, please call extension 1108 between 8 and 5. Yeah. Dear manager, my bath-sized dial is missing. Every bar of soap was taken from my room, including my own bath-sized dial. I came in late last night and had to call the bellhop to bring me 4 little cashmere bouquets. Dear Mr. Berman, I've informed our housekeeper, Elaine, of your soap problem. I cannot understand why there was no soap in your room, since our maids are instructed to leave 3 bars of soap each time they service a room. The situation will be rectified immediately. Please accept my apologies. Dear Mrs. Carmen, who the hell left 54 little bars of camé in my room? I came in last night and found 54 little bars of soap. I don't want 54 little bars of camé. I want my own damn bar of bath-sized dial. Do you realize I have 54 bars of soap in here? All I want is my bath-sized dial. Please give me back my bath-sized dial. Dear Mr. Berman, you complained of too much soap in your room, so I had them remove it. Then you complained to the manager that all your soap was missing, so I personally returned it. The 24 camés which had been taken and the 3 camés you are supposed to receive daily. I don't know anything about the 4 cashmere bouquets. Obviously, your maid, Kathy, did not know I had returned your soap, so she also brought 24 camés plus the 3 daily camés. I don't know where you got the idea this hotel issues bath-sized dial. I was able to locate some bath-sized ivory, which I left in your room. Dear Mrs. Carmen, just a short note to bring you up to date on my latest soap inventory. As of today, I possess on the shelf under the medicine cabinet, 18 Chem A in four stacks of four and one stack of two. On the Kleenex dispenser, 11 Chem A's in two stacks of four and one stack of three. On the bedroom dresser, one stack of three cashmere bouquet, one stack of four hotel size ivory, and 8 Chem A in two stacks of four. Inside the medicine cabinet, 14 Chem A in three stacks of four and one stack of two. In the shower soap dish, 6 Chem A, very moist. On the northwest corner of the tub, one cashmere bouquet, slightly used. On the northwest corner of the tub, 6 Chem A's in two stacks of three. Northeast corner of the tub, sorry. Please ask Kathy, when she services my room, to make sure the stacks are neatly piled and dusted. Also, please advise her that the stacks of more than four have a tendency to tip. May I suggest that my bedroom window is still not in use and will make an excellent spot for future soap deliveries? One more item. I have purchased another bath-sized dial, which I am keeping in the hotel vault in order to avoid further misunderstandings, Mr. Berman. Yeah, I looked at that and said, yes, I understand every bit of this guy's angst. Yes, start to finish, I get it. So just one of many complaint letters, so I guess maybe I should feel pretty good about things. But the reality is, when possible, good customer service is what's most important to me. And that is probably the biggest reason I love the C. Crane Company. The other reason, equally important, is that Bob Crane is a radio lover, and every product he developed has superior reception. Radio reception like it was back in the 50s and 60s, not the crap that passes for reception today. And not only that, but everyone has really neat features. And by the way, you can call them 24 hours a day. They answer, not somebody in India. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Or better yet, if you go to their website, ccradio.com, you will get great information as well as great products that you can order right online. Now, let me tell you about the CC Radio Solar. It truly is an innovative emergency radio because, unlike other emergency radios that leave you in the dust when the batteries are dead or things like that, the CC Solar will work no matter what. Yeah, it's bottom line is it has an oversized solar panel and a battery strength meter. So if you set it in a sunny window, you can listen for days. But let's say you didn't. No sun. Well, it takes batteries. No problem. Let's say the batteries are dead. Oh, by the way, you can have an AM adapter, too, if you buy one. And of course, that'll work, too. But let's say there's no electricity. So now we've got no electricity. The batteries are dead and you didn't leave it in the sun. That's all right. You can hand crank it for about 20 seconds. It's going to play for over 20 minutes. Not only that, it can store enough energy to bring a dead phone battery back to make important contacts when you need it most. And the deal there is you're not going to use it to charge your cell phone on a regular basis, no matter what. But in that time when you're really in a pinch or in a bind, have a need, this will at least power it so you can make a phone call or two, which is really neat. Now, of course, like all of the CC radios, it has terrific reception. It's got 5 one-touch memories with superior reception and excellent audio that you can enjoy every day. AM, FM, weather, and weather alert. And the other thing, when the lights are out, if it's at night, you're not only looking for the radio, you're looking for a flashlight. It's got a built-in flashlight. So when there's no light and there's no communication and the batteries are dead and you didn't leave it in the sun and there's no power, this still will work. How can you beat it? CC Radio Solar, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But better yet, go online and read all about it, ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I guess I dropped out of school before I learned some things I should have knew. Without an education, everybody told me I were through. So I got myself a guitar, learned to sing, and then I grew long hair. I were a high school dropout, now I are a millionaire. I got me 20 gold records in a row hanging in my den. Tell me I'd do better if I had more education in. I can't even spell bank, but I got $1 million in there. I were a high school dropout, now course. And my educated friends are so jealous of me they could curse. 'Cause I make more money in a night than they make in a year. I were a high school dropout, now I are a millionaire.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Terry Fell. I are a millionaire, 1968 on RCA, and boy, doesn't that sound like 1968 Nashville, no mistaking that. Cleveland Dennis asked that we play it. Terry Fell was an interesting character, and he was living in Nashville by that time, originally from Lower Alabama. That's right, he was from L.A., Lower Alabama. In any event, he moved to Nashville, and he was not young by the time that record was out in 1968, because he was born like 1921. So not that he was an old guy, but certainly not one of the up-and-comers, but never really had a lot of hits under his own name, and some interesting records like a version of Don't Drop It and all that, but on the flip side of Don't Drop It was Truck Driving Man, and he wrote it. And right there, there was never going to be any fundraiser for Terry Fell, because everybody recorded that. Yeah. And when I say everybody, I mean every Ricky Nelson or Charlie Pride or Bill Anderson or Conway Twitty or David Allen Coe, or I mean Leon Russell, I'm trying to, Jay Giles Band, you name it. You know, and that's just the big Dave Dudley, of course, yeah, burying the lead there. Red Simpson and Glenn Campbell, and I mean I'm not really telling you many of them. It is literally dozens and dozens of people who wrote it, and he wrote it. So he was just fine. But now our A Millionaire was the request that Cleveland Dennis had, and we were happy to play it. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we got Fran in Austin. All right, Fran, what's up tonight?
I'm still laughing at that soap opera.
Isn't that just classic? I have saved that thing since 1997 at least, because it's just so classic.
I don't know. I love those little hotel soaps.
You know, I actually used to collect them. And I mean, especially from the airlines and stuff. I had every conceivable airline soap. And then a friend of mine who had one time been a very big program director but then was down on his luck, Bill Drake, he was kind of really down on his luck. I gave him all my soap. He took it all. I used it. But I had literally probably thousands of those things.
Oh, I always took all of them. I take my own bath-sized bar, but I take all those little bars.
Yeah.
I think that guy had a little bit too much time on his hands.
Oh, undoubtedly. But, you know, when he got to the part about they took his bath-sized dial, I could feel.
I know, that was
he was like, what do you mean? Yeah, we took it all. Yeah, and I can relate 100% to that happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, we want all the soap out.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, I've got another one later I'm going to read about some guy's vacation and then someone else with airline food that is also just unbelievable.
Oh, wow. But, I, you know, in all seriousness, you're right. I get so frustrated with not being able to talk to a person because sometimes the problem you have doesn't fit into their little slot.
Exactly right.
You know, and so they're going to tell me how to, you know, do something, but it's, you know, my problem is not that.
Well, and then when you point this out to...
I can't talk to anybody
right.
And explain that everything doesn't fit into little boxes like that.
Right. And when you're chatting with a moron, and that's actually being polite, there's no way to really get that across, you know, that no, it is none of the above. Do not tell me I can
right.
enter this here because there is no here. Yeah.
What always cracks me up, I don't know what it is with cable people, but people do not understand because I'll tell them, no, I use a screen reader. I can't see the screen, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so then they'll go through and say, so what do you see on your screen now?
The same thing before,
okay,
nothing.
What part of I can't see the screen do you not understand?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I had this person actually ask me once, well, if you can't see the screen, how are you watching, you know, whatever the program was, how do you watch TV anyway?
Idiots.
And I said, that is not your business. Your business is to fix my problem.
Exactly.
You know, how dare he ask me, how do you watch it anyway?
Right, right. Oh, I know. My favorite in that interaction last night, my hours and hours of chatting, was when I had explained that the account had no phone, and that's one of the reasons that I was, in fact, trying to call, but now I'm chatting since there is no phone number. And I explained thoroughly that there was no phone. So he said, we've just sent you an SMS message to verify it's you.
And with no phone.
That's right. I said, how is that going to come? Is it going to be a word of knowledge from the Lord? There's no phone. So, yeah.
But it's interesting because I was reading an article, and I wish I could remember where it was, because it was a pretty interesting article, and it was about this woman who teaches, middle school, I think. And she wanted the kids to relate to each other.
Uh-oh.
You know, get their heads out of their computers and their phones and talk. And the kids were like, huh? What? You want us to do what? I mean, they were just freaking out by it. And I think, I was thinking about that, and I also read another article that said that, during the pandemic when everything was being done, from home and online and, even more so than the younger people like it that way. That's the way they want it.
Oh, absolutely.
Want to interact with other people.
Absolutely. Drew, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there. Coming up on WGN Radio.
All right.
Over the mountain, across the sea.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Johnny and Joe. That's the original 45 version of Over the Mountain, Across the Sea. And John and Waukegan wanted to hear that. He missed it last time, slept through it, so we played it again for him. I hope you're awake, John. Rex Garvin wrote that. And there's a clip from the Milt Grant show in D.C. in 1957 when that record was starting to become a hit, with Johnny and Joe lip-syncing it. And it's just terrific. Milt Grant was on Channel 5 and then owned TV20 there and then owned a bunch of UHF stations later. But he had the big D.C. dance show back then. And you can see him, but more to the point, you can see Johnny Richardson and Joe kind of making their way through lip-syncing that song. And it's just just priceless. Of course, Johnny was the daughter of Zell Sanders, and Zell was the owner of JNS Records, and also had been a touring member of the Hearts, and like that. So, yeah, and of course, Johnny was also one of the 842 people, okay, I exaggerate, but maybe not that much, on the JNet selling Go Round the Roses, but who wasn't? They practically drug people across the street. Maybe we'll play a Rex Garvin record tonight, yeah, and like I say, he wrote that, and he had a hit in Pittsburgh, nowhere else, believe me, Emulsified, so maybe I need to play that. And so, sadly, Johnny died in 1988, and I don't know, Joe may still be with us. Johnny had a stroke, she was not old at all, but Joe, he was living out of the country, but then I don't know. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking to Fran in Austin, customer disservice. So yes, after they've insulted you and they want to know why you're calling if you can't see the screen anyway.
Yeah, why am I trying? He said, if I can't see the screen, how can I watch whatever it was I was watching? Which I thought was impertinent, to say the least.
Well, it's ignorant.
And ignorant, but, there, I told him, I said, your job is to fix this. You don't need to know how I watch TV. You don't need to know, your job is to fix this.
Right.
But I think I get so frustrated because everything is online, online, online,
online. I know.
I get so tired of it. And then they'll send me, I've got a doctor's appointment, and they keep sending me texts. They want
yes.
me to fill out my chart.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And you won't have to wait in line so long. That is not why they.
No,
I don't mind. I'd rather wait in line.
Yeah,
than have to mess with their sometimes the stuff is not really all that accessible.
Right. Right. No, I do like my chart from the standpoint of they usually will post your test results on it, but I refuse to play their game of check in online. No, I'll check in when I get there. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and that's they kept sending me texts. It seemed like it was every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
And, nag, nag, nag,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, right. That and the other one is no matter who it is, they want you to sign up for paperless billing like it's an advantage to you.
Right.
And
sign up for paperless billing and you can save,
Right,
no,
right, exactly.
No, I refuse to sign up for paperless billing because
I won't see the bill.
They
yeah.
make a mistake and double charge me and I don't have the, I don't have the money for that kind of luxury,
of
that
course,
kind of mistake, I mean.
Paperless billing doesn't necessarily create automatic charges, but the problem with it, of course, is if you're not getting a paper statement and if you're getting enough of a volume of email, what's the chance you're going to see it in time to pay it? And so I always
exactly.
respond the same way. Well, would you like to sign up for paperless billing? Only if you don't want to get paid.
No.
Yeah, only if
I'm thinking also of the automatic payments.
I'll generate that. Thank
not,
you very much.
I refuse to do that because, as I say, what if they double charge
Right, then you go through a dispute, of course. So, no, I don't do that. Absolutely not.
And I don't have the kind of, if they double charge me, that means I don't eat that week.
Well, one of the things on something
like that. I mean, it comes down to that.
Yeah. On something like that, one of the things is you never give them bank account information. You only give them credit card information. So you're not going to pay it if it's double charged. You're going to call the credit card company and dispute it. But why have to go through that
trouble?
The problem
I have, and I know that you have advised against this, and I'm still trying to find a way around it, but I am one of those people that pays with a debit card because I don't have a credit card.
Get one.
I can't qualify for a credit card, so I don't know what to do about it.
What you do is you get a collateralized credit card. You get one where you give them, say, $500, and they give you a $500 line of credit. And then you just keep using it and make sure that you're not going beyond the limit of what you've got in the credit card. And after a while, you've built up enough credit where they don't force the collateralization.
That's
how you do it.
All right. I hadn't heard of that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you the rub on that. With collateralized cards, the interest rates are sky high. So you never, ever, ever want to run a balance. You want to pay it in full at the end of the month so they're not getting any interest. But as long as you pay it in full at the end of the month.
Well, that's one of the reasons I don't have a credit card. Not only can I not get one on my income, but I did have one at one time, and me and credit cards are not a good idea because I overdid it.
Right. Well, in this case, what you would do, you'd collateralize the card, and you'd only use it for things like online charges or whatever, where you would be using a debit card. You'd only use it for that, and you would know that you had to pay it at the end of the month, or you don't put the charge on there. You know, you have to have the discipline to do that. But it's a great way to have protection that you don't have from a debit card.
Yeah, I mean, I pay a lot of things with PayPal, but I guess that's not necessarily...
No, PayPal is damn good, because PayPal will absolutely come to your defense in a dispute when there's a problem. They do. I like PayPal.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with them whatsoever. Now, customer service, well, that's another issue. But for the most part, you dispute it with them, they make it right. You know, as long as your case is legit and they see that, you're going to get the credit.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's a good thing. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I do a lot of that now on PayPal.
Yeah. That is at least a line of defense. And you're probably putting a debit card on the PayPal. I understand that. But at least there's a line of defense between that debit card and the merchant.
Okay, so I'm looking for,
collateralized.
Tell me that again. So
collateralized. Credit card, a collateralized MasterCard or a Visa, it doesn't matter which, but they're all over the place. Let me see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great idea. All right. And, I'm getting hearing aids.
Oh, good for you. Oh, this is going to be a real odyssey. God, I hope it works the first time.
Oh, finally. I couldn't believe it. I went in there yesterday. And, you know, they said, yes, I do need hearing aids and so forth. And she put hearing aids on me that she kind of calibrated so I could hear what it's like. I couldn't believe what I heard and how much I've been missing. Because, I mean, like, so many times I don't understand what, you know, what'd you say? What?
Yeah.
You know, poor Gary gets so tired of me having to ask him four times what he said. Or I used to tell him, quit mumbling. Stop mumbling.
Right. Exactly.
Mumbling. It was me that couldn't hear him. And when they took those off of, you know, when they took those hearing aids off, everything sounded underwater. And I didn't realize that for years I've been listening to stuff like that.
Yeah. Absolutely, you don't realize it because it happens slowly over time, so you don't realize it. The interesting thing is some are better than others, and some work really well, and others are just a nightmare. So it's a question of the right stuff and then the ones you get having them work.
Well, the person that I went to, she really listened to me. I told her, you know, that I needed something that was compatible with VoiceOver and JAWS and, you know, all this kind of stuff because I need to be able to work the app. So I need it to work with VoiceOver and all this. And she said, oh, yes, we understand. She said, this hearing aid that we're getting for you works well with Apple products. And we're trying to get you something that will work but is not, you know, is simple for you to use. She really seemed to understand what I wanted.
Right, right. Well, I mean, hopefully, whatever you get, that's customer service. Yes, it really is. But I mean, they're mass-produced items, so you know, if you get a good pair, that's great. If you don't, you send them back and get another one.
Well, fortunately, the place is real close. It's like within a block and a half of me, if that.
Good.
So if I have any problems, she's, do you have a problem? Bring them in. We'll, you know, see what we can do.
Absolutely.
So I am really happy about it. I was afraid to get hearing aids for a long time because I was afraid that it would change the way music sounds.
Well, there are cases where it would, but in general, I wouldn't worry much about that. The big thing is you want something that's going to be comfortable for long-term use, comfortable more than anything else. But as long as it's comfortable, then it comes back to the calibration of it and how it's set up. And yeah, if you work with someone who knows what they're doing, ultimately you can get where you want to be.
But I am really excited about it. So I hopefully will be getting them in about 2 weeks.
All right. Well, keep me posted. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah. Oh, and I got one other request.
Uh-huh.
You played a song a long time ago on the Friday night show called He's Mine.
Oh, okay.
And I think it was by someone named
Bernadine.
Yeah, it is. I was afraid you were going to ask for the Alice in Wonderland song, but no, absolutely, he's mine. And that's Bernadine. First name is Berna. Last name is Dean, D-E-A-N. He's mine.
Yeah, oh, when you played that, I loved it, and I was just thinking about it the other day. It got stuck in my head for some reason, even though I haven't heard it.
Oh, she was
I'm
great.
I'm going to call up Raleigh and ask her if she can play it.
Yeah, absolutely. She was really great. One gal in town, five men hanging around. Yeah, the world.
Oh, I like that one, too.
Yeah. The world keeps a-changing. Yeah, she was terrific. All right, I will absolutely play He's Mine.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, what a fine record. So, 888-876-5593. Let's say goodbye to Fran here. Let me release that line because it's actually full line. So, if you're trying to call in, you get a busy signal, and I don't think that's good. And I think we also had finished talking to Marianne. If Marianne called back, you'll have to call back again because I just hung up on you, and apologies to that. We'll get to Sam and Gurney. Death by Leaf Blower? Oh, man, that might even trump some of James' stories, and we'll be hearing them. Eduardo and Midway? Ah, Bed, Bath, and Beyond. R.I.P. And let's see. Room for You. So all that and more coming up right here on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, Lily was here. That was Marianne requested that, and then Kathy wrote and said, referring to saxophonist Candy Dulfer, and indeed, it was David A. Stewart and Candy Dulfer, and that record benefited tremendously from the rise of the smooth jazz stations because it was played incessantly. 1989 on RCA, in America, it was actually not on RCA, it was on Arista. So that is Lily was here. So there you go, Marianne. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And yes, we have murder, we have mayhem, we have customer disservice. And sometimes they're all the same thing. I think Sam is getting right into the heart of murder. So Sam, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you tonight?
All right, so I understand we're going to talk about the leaf blower story. Now, if we're talking about the same story, it wasn't death by leaf blower, which would have been very interesting. I would have been very interested if somebody killed somebody else with a leaf blower, but in fact killed and shot him in the head because of a leaf blower. Is that the story?
Yeah, you know, I am not. I never want to sensationalize any of these morons. I think there's so much depravity and despicable stuff that's going on, and it breaks my heart when I think about it, but if I get the story right, and I don't know that I have gotten it right because I got it second hand, but my understanding is that in Antioch, Illinois,
right,
a man was out blowing his leaves,
yep,
and a neighbor came out and shot him to death in the process of that.
Yep.
And if that is true, I don't know if it is or not because I haven't even looked it up. I got it second hand. But if it is true, I was calling in to see if you had heard anything about it.
Okay.
If you had,
I do.
You can let me know what you know about it.
I'll tell you what I know about it. It is antioxidant. So we're talking about Lake County Sheriff. That's who responded to this. And the deal was that a 59-year-old guy, William Martys, was out using a leaf blower, and his neighbor, 20 years older, a 79-year-old guy, Lachey was his last name. Ator, I think, was his first name. But anyway, they had an argument, ostensibly over the leaf blower, but who knows. But in the meantime, 79-year-old Ator takes out a gun and shoots William in the head and kills him. And it was during that argument. And they found the likely murder weapon near the perpetrator's property line. But that was the deal. And this is what I mean about let's face it, we've all been frustrated and we've thought, I wish they'd die on the spot. But that's a lot different than taking out a gun and killing someone. It seems we've lost that, that ability to step back and not act on our immediate impulse. And all I can figure, other than desensitization, of course, which is another discussion, but for a 59 and 79-year-old guy, it's probably not desensitization, it's that people are all acting on their last nerve, and they're doing things that heretofore nobody would have done.
Yeah, I hear that loud and clear, and it just saddens me. I think about, I know every parent in the world has had a time when they told their kid, I'm going to kill you if you do that one more time.
Right, exactly. But only Lori, the idiot in Idaho, is killing the kids, exactly.
Is actually doing it.
Yes,
yeah.
Right,
and,
right.
No, I hear that loud and clear. But just when I heard the story, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I believe
stuff happens, but it's like we go from one day to the other and we're expecting...
Yeah.
No, for real. I mean, we've heard the craziest stuff, and you can't even believe you're going to hear something more crazy than you heard yesterday.
Well, keep listening, because I've got a few to top the leaf blower. All right.
Okay, well, I'll do that.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good night.
And who knows? Maybe one of them will be on the news right now. We'll find out on WGN Radio. James and JT and Aurora wanted to hear that. It was on Cub. What a wonderful song. Yeah, the Stereos. And there are other stereo records we never play, like Echo in My Heart. Maybe we'll get to that tonight. But he also wanted the Volumes. I Love You, and we'll do that as well. So, all right. So, yes, indeed. Stereos. 888-876-5593. And the leaf blower story. We will we'll definitely get there. But let's see. Eduardo in Midway's been waiting quite a while. I hope he's still there. Are you still with us, Eduardo?
Oh yeah, I'm not on the massage bed because you know me. I'm on the massage bed, then it's
yeah. That's it. It's good night. Good night, Irene. All right. Well, there you go.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. So just briefly on my little real estate thing. So everything's progressing forward. Did the inspection, did the escrow today, did an appraisal. Everything's going forward so far. So far, so good.
Good. All right.
So, so we got the closing on the Chicago house May 15th, and then we're probably going to have to fly out the next day, May 16th, to do the closing on the Florida house.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way it's looking at right now. So,
well, it sounds we'll good. How, it sounds good to me. Now, have you actually seen the Florida house? Have you gone down and seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When we,
all right.
This past weekend, remember?
Yeah, okay.
We did fly out over there.
Right, and you actually did walk through
it. So it was number four.
Okay.
Yeah, the last one that we've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last one that we've seen. They say, this is it.
All right. Well, good.
So.
Good, good, good.
Hopefully everything will go well.
Yes, absolutely. I hope it does.
Yeah. But, yeah, more details to come.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bed and Beyond. I used to love going there with my 20% coupon, getting my, I think it's called Dr. Katz Chewing Gum.
Okay.
I used to love getting it. They were the store that I had it. Nobody else had it.
Okay.
But I used to like going there. I got to have that.
Yeah. All right.
But
well.
I guess they didn't reinvent themselves. And then, you know, obviously when COVID was around, that really just killed them.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, it filed for bankruptcy protection, but I have not looked beyond that because, you know, that does not necessarily mean it's completely going away. And I have not, they filed for an 11, and usually that's some form of a reorganization. So, but in this filing, they asked for the courts for permission to auction its assets, which does not sound promising. And so I think they still have 360 locations and at least. And so I would assume they had tried for, I know, a number of ways to raise money or get investors or whatever. My favorite was that it was obviously tongue-in-cheek, but that guy who was a porn producer who wanted to rent the beds at night. And it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But, and of course, he wasn't serious. But in all... Well, honestly, I think they tried everything, and now, you know, they've got creditors who are all over them like whites on rice. So they're supposedly going to auction everything off, but it'll be interesting to see. When you're a big company like that, of course, when you have $5.2 billion in debts, it's not like you've got it all to a couple banks. It's coming in many different levels, including a lot of subordinated debentures. So there's a lot of individuals who are going to wind up losing their investment completely on that. So it remains to be seen, because they just filed it, I think, Sunday, who's going to go to that bankruptcy court and what they're going to say. So, you know... yeah, they say, hey, our business is broken. We need to do this. But what are all the creditors going to say? Because that's part of it. You know, they will get other people filing. So I don't know.
Yeah. And there's going to be other stores. I guess they're going to be Tuesday morning, too. It's going to be...
Well, I don't know all what they own. I know they had that one offshoot that they're closing entirely, but I don't.
Oh, the baby one.
No, there's another one too. I forget the name of it, but it was Bed Bath & Beyond was not in that name at all, and trying to think of what it was. But in any event, there was a lot of jockeying there over the last 6 months of people who were, you know, kind of sniffing around, but a deal was never struck. So, you know, now what's going to happen with liquidators? And I know that you have some individuals who are saying, well, yeah, we were just laid off without warning and the liquidators are coming and all that. But when you file an official bankruptcy, it's not as simple as the liquidators are coming. You know, there'll be other filings and we'll see how it goes. But ultimately, I would say if there's a location near you and there's anything you like in it, this is the time to get it.
Oh, yeah, and leave your 20% coupon at home because they're not taking them.
Well, no, well, that's always the way, yeah. So we'll see. And I have not had any time to really look into how did they screw up, because at one time they were dominant. And so how did they go down? What was it? And I'm sure there's a story there and maybe books will be written, but I don't know what the misstep was.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, I think some of the stores reduced the things they had before.
Okay.
And then they had this little clearance section, like, in the middle of the store that was, like, it looked like it got ransacked by looters.
Oh, God. Well, you know, obviously, retail's landscape is changing almost every moment, and especially with the presence of online retailing and so many other things,
right,
that it's hard. But most of these entities do have, you know, online presence of some sort. So I don't know. I'll have to look into that and see what the analysts are saying as to what they did wrong.
Yeah, more details to come.
Yeah, because, you know, I know that part of the problem is they were not initially very strong online, which is a problem. You know, that's where every day John and I will bring this up. I still can't imagine how Sears ever lost its catalog. You know, these were people who invested in Prodigy, for God's sakes. They understood what online was going to mean. Sears should have been the Amazon of today, and they just blew it. So I don't know.
Yeah, Dan, Montgomery Ward, Goldblatt's. I remember all those stores.
Yeah, right. And but Sears in particular, because the catalog, the catalog was legendary, and it was already in place. And like I say, they put their money where their mouth was, investing in Prodigy. So they believed in the internet to some degree. Maybe it was misspent money at that particular venture, but to just fold it, I don't get it. But I'm looking at as we speak, and what analysts we're saying is lagging online strategy, ding, 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 but messy assortments, which is what you were saying. It looked like it had exploded there, and it was hard for them to compete with the big boxes, with the Targets and the Walmarts. And it also has to be said that Bed Bath & Beyond clearly was not the cheapest. And at this point in time, when you're not the low price leader, you better have something else going for you. So...
yeah, I mean, you got the Walmarts, the Targets.
Yeah, well,
there's a bigger line at the dollar store than there is at Bed and Beyond.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a sad commentary, but yeah, I don't know. Bed Bath and Beyond has been around 50 years. And at one point they were the leader, but the problem is that when you're the leader, you have to understand that you better keep innovating, or somebody else will come along. And you know, so from one linen store in New Jersey to a national retail chain, and obviously back. And so I don't know. Like I say, my gut is prices were high, you know, comparatively, and online presence wasn't sufficient. That's the two things I would think. So, I don't know.
Okay, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Have a good week
if we don't
talk again.
Yes.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So, and, you know, they had competitors, too. Linens and Things was around for a while. I don't know what happened to Linens and Things, but, yeah, I remember one of my moves, I wound up getting a lot of things there because it was near wherever I was moving or whatever. But, yeah, for a while, they were just huge. And there you go. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and that takes us to Andrew in Norwood Park. What's up, Andrew? We lost Andrew. Well, who could blame him? Customer service with chickens. No, I know. As far as that, yeah, they're handling it from home. And the things you do here in the background are fascinating. I'm hoping that somebody will make an outtake tape of that, because it's just fascinating what you can hear in the background. And I think that could be an entire comedy routine. Speaking of which, I got to get more of these customer service letters, because they're just too good to be true. Virgin Airlines was a fellow who was on a flight from Mumbai to Heathrow in 2008. And he writes to Branson directly. Yes, dear Mr. Branson, I love the Virgin brand. I really do, which is why I continue to use it despite of a series of unfortunate incidents over the last few years. The latest incident takes the biscuit. Ironically, by the end of the flight, I would have gladly paid over 1,000 rupees for a single biscuit following the culinary journey of hell I was subjected to at the hands of your corporation. Look at this, Richard. Just look at it. And there's a picture of some very nondescript food item. I imagine the same questions are racing through your brilliant mind as were racing through mine on that fateful day. What is this? Why have I been given it? What have I done to deserve this? And which one is the starter? Which one is the dessert? You don't get in a position like yours, Richard, with anything less than a generous sprinkling of observational power, so I know you will have spotted the tomato next to the two yellow shafts of sponge on the left. Yes, it's next to the sponge shaft without the green paste. That's got to be a clue, hasn't it? No sane person would serve a dessert with a tomato, would they? Well, answer me this, Richard. What sort of animal would serve a dessert with peas in it? And he's got another picture here. He says, seriously? I know it looks like I can't even pronounce the word, a jobby, but it's custard, Richard. It must be the pudding. Well, you'll be fascinated to hear that it wasn't custard. It was a sour gel with a clear oil on top. Its only redeeming feature was that it managed to be so alien to my palate that it took away the taste of the curry emanating from our miscellaneous central cuboid of beige matter. Perhaps the meal on the left might be the dessert after all. Anyway, this is all irrelevant at the moment. I was raised strictly but neatly by my parents, and if they knew I had started dessert before the main course, a sponge shaft would be the least of my worries. So let's peel back the tinfoil on the main dish and see what's on offer. I try to explain how this felt. Imagine being a 12-year-old boy, Richard. Now imagine it's Christmas morning and you're sat with your final present to open. It's a big one, and you know what it is. It's that Goodman stereo you picked out of the catalog and wrote to Santa about. Only you open the present and it's not in there. It's your hamster, Richard. It's your hamster in the box and it's not breathing. That's how I felt when I peeled back the foil and saw this. There's another picture of the food he was served. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, it's more of that custard. I admit I thought the same thing too, but no, it's mustard, Richard, mustard. More mustard than any man should consume in a month. On the left, we have a piece of broccoli and some peppers in a brown glue-like oil, and on the right, the chef has prepared some mashed potato. The potato masher had obviously broken, and so it was decided the next best thing would be to pass the potatoes through the digestive tract of a bird. Once it was regurgitated, it clearly was then blended and mixed with a bit of mustard. Everybody likes a bit of mustard, Richard. By now, I was actually starting to feel a little hypoglycemic. I needed a sugar hit. Luckily, there was a small cookie provided. It had caught my eye earlier due to its baffling presentation. It appears to be in an evidence bag from the scene of a crime. A crime against bloody cooking. Either that or some sort of backstreet underground cookie purchased off a gun-toting maniac high on his own supply of yeast. You certainly wouldn't want to be caught carrying one of these things through customs. Imagine biting into a piece of brass, Richard. That would be softer on the teeth than the specimen above. I was exhausted. All I wanted to do was relax, but obviously had to sit with that mess in front of me for half an hour. I swear the sponge shafts moved at one point. Once cleared, I decided to relax with a bit of your world-famous onboard entertainment. I switched it on. And there's a picture that is just unintelligible. I apologize for the quality of the photo. It's just it was incredibly hard to capture Boris Johnson's face through the flickering white lines running up and down the screen. Perhaps it would be better on another channel. Of course it's worth. Is that Ray Liotta? A question I found myself asking over and over again throughout the grueling half hour I attempted to watch the film. After that, I switched it off. I'd had enough. I was the hungriest I've ever been in my adult life, and I had a splitting headache from squinting at a crackling screen. My only option was to simply stare at the scene in front of me and wait for either food or sleep. Neither came for an incredibly long time, but when it did, it surpassed my wildest expectations. Yes, it's another crime scene cookie, only this time you dunk it in the white stuff. Richard, what is that white stuff? It looked like it was going to be yogurt. It finally dawned on me what it was after staring at it. It was a mixture between the custard and the mustard. It reminded me of my first week at university. I had overheard that you can make a drink by mixing vodka and refreshers. I lied to my new friends and told them I'd done it lots of times. When I attempted to make the drink in a big bowl, it formed a cheese, Richard. A cheese. That cheese looked a lot like your mustard. So that was it, Richard. I didn't eat a bloody thing. My only question is, how can you live like this? I can't imagine what dinner around your house is like. It must be something out of a nature documentary. As I said at the start, I love your brand. I really do. It's just a shame such a simple thing could bring it crashing to its knees and begging for sustenance. Yours sincerely. And the word was, by the way, that Richard Branson offered the guy a job. it's great when you can write them, but yeah, you probably could write your own on airline food. So we'll get to Karen, we'll get to James, we'll get to you two right here on WGN Radio. James, well, when the request came in for I Really Love You, of course, he was talking about the Stereos, but I thought, oh man, I want to hear that Dee Dee Sharp, I Really Love You too. So that was more for me than JT and Aurora, but he got both of his requests, so he can't complain. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and Karen is in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Molly. Yeah, I had an interesting time with a health insurance company who, with my summary along with it, send you a cover letter telling you that you can have your information sent to you in an accessible format. So I thought, well, that's wonderful. So I called him and I said, I received your information. I would like my information sent to me in Braille. And he didn't say anything for a minute, and he said, I'm sorry, I don't believe I know what that is. And I said, in Braille. I said, it's a reading system for blind people. And he said, could you spell that, please?
Oh, no.
And I couldn't believe it. I went, what? And I spelled it for him. And he said, I'm really not familiar with it. I think I'll probably have to ask my supervisor, and maybe someone will call you back. And my first thought was, my God, you must have come at the top of your class.
Well, firstly, do you have any reason to believe he was in America? Or North America, for that matter?
Yeah, he spoke English.
Yeah.
Well, that blew me away, because he actually was born in the good old USA.
next question would be, what do you mean, maybe someone will call you back?
Yeah, I know, and no one ever did.
Well,
and I called them again about 2 months later, and they seemed to understand the question, but I never got a response, and I never got my Braille information.
Let me ask you something. When they make something like that available, and of course they could say, well, we mean accessible, we'll send it to you in an audio format or something. I don't know what they'd claim. But I would think that there's a way to hold their feet to the fire on that if they're making the offer. Is there any government agency that oversees that accessibility?
You know, I don't know. And the funny part of that is that everywhere else, Discover Card, ComEd, Comcast, even now Harris Bank. They didn't do it for a while, but all of a sudden now I'm getting statements in Braille from Harris Bank. And I actually just recently got one from the gas company. And they don't seem to have any problem knowing what Braille is.
Well, yeah. No, the fact that somebody the fact that somebody would say they didn't know what it was, that is,
that
beyond,
blew me away.
Yeah,
I,
beyond frightening.
Well, mercy, even if he wasn't from the USA, I mean, if he was from another country, I think they know what Braille is. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, this is alarming. Just absolutely alarming.
I just don't. And the ones that I really get a kick out of is the ones that Comcast is real good for this. You're totally blind, and you've told them this. You've already prefaced the call saying, I really need some help. I'm totally blind. Well, they're getting better at it because now they have an accessibility line. But on occasion, you will get the person who says, did you see the green light come on?
Right. This is.
Hey,
this is,
I just told you.
Yeah, this is exactly what Fran was saying. What are you seeing?
I know.
What are you seeing on your screen?
When she said that, I thought, how many times have I been through that?
Right. What are you seeing now? I'm seeing nothing, just like I was seeing nothing before.
Absolutely nothing.
Right, exactly.
You know, the ones that really have a handle on that is Apple. They have an accessibility line for their people with disabilities who have their products, and these folks really know how to help you. They can even screen share and come on and help you, like if you've got to enter something, a password or something. If you're anything like me and you get nervous, when you're typing in your password, the thing doesn't talk to you. Normally it will talk while you're typing, but in that case it doesn't. And I have had those people from Apple. How they do it, I don't know, but they have gotten me through some really rough stuff.
Nice. Really nice.
Just amazing. And just as nice and friendly as anyone can be.
Right, but you know, the interesting thing is, when you're talking to Apple, of course, you're paying a premium. Their stuff is not cheap, so they can afford to give you customer service. And when somebody is basically in business to try and be the low price leader, customer service is the first thing that goes. And I guess maybe it's up to us end users to realize if we're getting a deal too good to be true, it is too good to be true, and we're not going to get customer service.
Another one that really irritates me is the cell phone company that says, can you read your EIME number?
Right,
and you go,
right.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm totally blind. I can't, isn't there a way you can, you know, I'm paying you. You have my information. Can't you find it? Well, isn't there someone there with you who can help? Hey, I'll live alone if it's any of your business.
Right. Yeah. No, there's nobody here. I have you on the other end of the phone. Yeah,
and you're supposed to know what the hell you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, as I say, I guess, you know, we talk about this all the time, and I brought it up tonight for two reasons. One, like I say, is when they told me to send them personal information on social media, I just lost it. I said, that's the top of everything. But
I won't even go on Facebook.
No, I won't
Twitter.
Either. I won't either.
I will
so.
Not touch it.
No, I won't either. But
and I will not pay my bills online.
Oh, well, it depends on the situation in that I'll do it sometimes, depending on how it is, but I'll only do it at my decision, not at theirs, and I'll never accept the bill online. Forget that, because I'll never see it. But
I had my landlord ask me if I wouldn't want to pay my rent online, and I said, oh, no, and he said, oh, why not? And I said, you really want to know? And he said, yes, and I said, because I don't trust you.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I don't. I don't trust anyone when it comes to my bank account.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I get that. It should be your choice regardless. But like I was saying, when I see these stories, story after story after story of people behaving in such heinous ways, I got to believe that level of frustration is part of it. I think all of us are on our last nerve.
Oh, I know. I feel it on occasion, and especially when I'm trying to deal with some of these people and conduct business. I mean, wow.
Right, I know. And by the way, I'm not saying that that's okay, but I'm just saying is
no,
on any level, of course
that.
It's not. But I think it's a symptom. And, yeah, I don't know how this ends, but I think the idea that you don't need customer service, and I also realize, by the way, that probably 90% of the calls that these people get can be handled by an idiot or could be handled by frequently asked questions, but there's that 10% where it really needs somebody involved, and they're just not giving you that service.
You know, another group that's wonderful as far as customer service, and that's Sea Crane. I had some problems with my, for some reason, my Discover card wouldn't go through, and we couldn't understand why. And it was evidently something with the system. And I said, could I send you a check? And they said, oh, sure. He said, I'll just give you an order number, and all you have to do is let us know when you're going to send it and everything. And I've said, my God, you're so easy to deal with. Why can't everyone be like that?
Right. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And they are. They've got terrific customer service. And again, and though, their price...
Their friend was talking about listening to music with hearing aids.
Yeah.
You know what? I use Sea Crane headphones, and my favorites are their Pro earbuds.
Yes.
I use them for music and for audiobooks. I read a lot of audiobooks, and they are just fantastic. I also have a set of the Sea Crane phones that go over the ear, and they're great, too. But they're so clear, and if you have a hearing loss, they still come through nice and clear.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I love them, too, and they're comfortable to wear, which...
yes, they are.
Most of the time.
Well, I wouldn't be without mine. In fact, I'm going to order some more. I mean, I wear them in bed and everything else.
Yeah,
absolutely. At night.
Yeah, you betcha. All right, well, good deal. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate the call.
Oh, Rally, thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. All right. So we'll get to Rita in Harwood Heights, and I haven't forgotten James on the South Side because we'll review some of those people acting badly stories. And I don't know if we'll get to the tabloids or not, but, you know, of course, if we don't, we've got tomorrow night. Yes, King Charles's battle with mental illness. And, yes, doomsday fungus ravaging America. That's right, a fungus among us, and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Oh, do you know what it means to be a emulsified now?
Yeah.
It goes something like this. Hey, my baby's a real gold chick. When she calls me, I'm on to a quick. When my baby holds me tight, don't you know I get emulsified? Yes, I do. You know it's true. Never, never will I let her go. Squeeze me and hold me tight. Don't you know I get emulsified every day, any old way. Yeah, I really got to tell you, baby. I'll tell her all the world I do. Hey,
WGN Radio. Yes, that's the guy who wrote Over the Mountain Across the Sea. And Emulsified was a hit in Pittsburgh, thanks to Porky Chadwick and Mad Mike. And one of the more incomprehensible recordings. 1963 on OK. And, you know, I mentioned before that the real Don Steele loved words, and he would just play with them. They'd roll around on his tongue, and he just was fascinated by it. Well, I get the feeling that Rex Garvin learned the word emulsified shortly before he wrote that. Yeah, just classic. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Rita in Harwood Heights, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I was just listening to you, and I came home late, but I turned on the radio, and you were talking about that man in Antioch who had the leaf blower and shot his neighbor.
Well, the neighbor had the leaf blower, yes. And they got into a fight, and maybe you know what the fight was about. I didn't see it announced. But, yes, the 79-year-old fellow killed the other guy, shot him in the head.
Right. Well, I have a small house, two big trees in the front of my house.
Uh-huh.
And I hire a yard service.
Right.
And one day, my next door neighbor, kind of, we're not real friendly right now, but I came home and my yard service was out there and they were cleaning up my yard and blowing the leaves, you know, and cleaning it all up and hauling stuff away. And then it looked like, you know, my neighbor, then her lawn looked pretty bad. So what did she do? When I went out to do my errands, she took her leaf blower and blew all the leaves from her yard onto mine. I was so upset. And I didn't have a gun, but I wanted to go out and buy a leaf blower myself and blow them all back over to her place.
Well, right. And, now, in a situation like that, were they on your property to begin with?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay,
the leaves had two great big trees, and they shed many, many leaves.
But it wasn't on your property and wound up on hers because of the leaf blower.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, she just decided she didn't want them on her property, and she figured because the trees were like in front of my house, they're really the village's trees. But she figured, well, they're in front of my house, so they're
mine. Right.
But they're not mine.
Right. Well, that's the kind of thing that very often escalates. And like I say, I think what we're seeing now is people are so frustrated over other things that it's getting to a fever pitch and people are doing unconscionable acts over this stuff.
Right. Well, she also has two sump pumps. And you're not allowed to have a sump pump aiming at your neighbor's property.
Well,
but she didn't like the way it was, so she had her family members rearrange the sump pump so they were aiming at my house by my back door. And one day we had this humongous rain, and her pumps were pumping away, but they were pumping into my yard, and my yard was like a swimming pool.
What'd you do?
And I looked over at her, and she's standing by her fence, not a drop of water in her yard.
Right. What'd you do?
And I was going to sue her. I was so angry with her.
Well, I don't see why you didn't. How did you resolve it?
Well, I went to the village.
Oh, good.
I have a good rapport with the village people.
Good.
And they came and they sent the supervisors out, and she had to rearrange those.
Good. All right. Good.
Yeah, so, but she does that. Once they leave, she waits for a couple of weeks, and then she has her family move them all back again.
Take the pictures, and because probably if you have a good relationship with the people in the town, if she's a repeat offender and is always disregarding, the fines can escalate. And I would, you know, at least you could wage a legal war with that, and you might want to talk to the town about that, say, hey, this is willful, and what are we doing to stop this?
Well, I told her when...
You don't tell her anything.
I told her that I was going to sue her.
Well, she doesn't care.
And I said, look at what you've done to my yard. And then it was going into my back door and down my back steps.
Right. She doesn't care.
She didn't care.
No, she just stood
there and watched it.
Right. She doesn't care. So there's no reason arguing with her. This is one where get the city on your side and absolutely talk about ways to go after her. And if you do have a legal action, talk about ways to do it. But no, it does not behoove you to have a conversation with her. It will go nowhere good and could escalate. But you might have some legal recourse, and I would take it. I wouldn't stand for it.
No, we're not really in speaking terms anymore.
Right, well, I wouldn't try to be. But nip it in the bud. Go to the city and say, hey, it's willful and it's repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this last time worked.
Okay.
Because they've rearranged it, and
it's not
back. Supposed to go into your front yard, not into the back area next to your neighbor's fence or anything.
Well, good.
But you know, I was wondering.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. I'm blowing the news, and I'll be right back in moments, right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you. jungle. That's the last place my baby stayed.
Hitchhike,
yeah.
Hitchhike, baby.
I'm packing up my bags, gonna leave this old town right away.
Hitchhike,
hitchhike,
baby.
I've got to find that girl if I have to hitchhike round the world.
Hitchhike,
hitchhike. Hmm. Chicago city limits. That's what the sign. That street called 63rd. Hitchhike, yeah. I've got to find that girl if I have to hitchhike around the world.
Hitchhike,
baby. Come on, chillin'. Hitchhike. Now hitchhike.
Hitchhike, baby.
It's alright. Hitchhike, chillin'.
Yeah, that street called 63rd. All righty then. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And, of course, that's Marvin Gaye. And that's Hitchhike, 1962 on Gordy. And Fran wanted to hear that. Me too. So, 888-876-5593. We're talking to Rita in Harwood Heights and about her neighbor. And I'm glad you've got that resolved. And you were about to say something else when I rudely interrupted you. So, pick it up there.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, after I listened to you, I listen to WGN for a little while, and then I turn off to Toronto, and I listen to them. And I thought, they don't always announce what the songs are.
Right.
They just play one after the other. But I thought that they had played one that was called The Night Chicago Died.
Yeah, Paper...
Is there such a song?
Yeah, it's by Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died.
Oh, well, could you play that?
Yeah, that's a huge hit. It's a horrible record, but I'll be happy to play it.
Okay,
truly awful, but I'll play it. It was a big hit, let's see, it was on Mercury, and that was huge, 1974. I played it to death,
okay.
Sorry to say.
Okay, I'd also, if you could play also, I'll Be Seeing You.
Okay.
I don't know who was singing that.
Well, everybody. okay. Let me write that down. Yeah, Paper Lace, sure, I'll play that for you, just because I like you. It's a terrible record.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. You're Thanks
great.
For calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay,
uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Oh, man, that early 70s stuff just killed me. All right. 88 in 1974 was particularly bad. I think Little Willie by the Sweet did me in. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And yeah, that'll be our last bumper stumper for the night. See, I was going to play the Chantel's Look in My Eyes for Fran, but no, we'll play Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died for Rita in Harwood Heights. All right. So we will get to James on the South Side with these 9,362,000, it seems like that some days, links of people acting badly. There's a lot of that going on, and I think they're on their last nerve. I really do. Well, we'll find out more and hopefully hear from you, too. And I haven't forgot about the tabloids, if we've forgotten about the tabloids. If we don't get to it tonight, well, we have plenty of time for tomorrow night. New murder scandal explodes. Well, maybe. The Son's Gay Buddy Exhumed. Well, Stephen Smith, you remember that. Well, we'll review and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Of a summer night in the land of the dollar bill, when the town of Chicago died, and they talk about it still. When a man named Al Capone tried to make that town his own, and he called his gang to war with the forces of the law, I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was. Glory be. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night
the song.
Yes, indeed.
And the sound of the battle rang through the streets of the old East Side, till the last of the hoodlum gang had surrendered up or died. They were shouting in the street, and the sound of running feet. And I asked someone who said, about 100 cops are dead. I heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a thought it really was.
Glory be. I heard my mama cry.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's for Rita in Harwood Heights. Yes, 1974, and Paper Lace was about as far from Chicago as you can get. Nottingham, England-based. They formed in the mid-60s, and it was a one-hit wonder. That was their only only hit. They actually were originally Music Box, and Phil Wright, probably more than anybody else, was the inspiration. And they were doing covers, Beach Boy covers and stuff like that, and then they changed their name to Paper Lace and had done a lot of club work and stuff like that, and some TV experience. But then they were on Opportunity Knocks, and that wound up showcasing them. And it was around that time that they were offered Billy, Don't Be a Hero. Yeah, well, all right, we know about that. And then that was followed up, and by the, of course, here we know it by Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods. But that was followed up by The Night Chicago Died. And it was a top 10 record, whether we wanted it to be or not. Yeah, Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods here in the States. So Paper Lace's version, I think, got to like number 96 with an anchor. But The Night Chicago Died was a huge hit in August of 1974. I'm nauseous. All right, I swear, all of a sudden it occurred to me, I'm really kind of nauseous. All right, so, but hey, I'll do anything for Rita. So 888-876-5593. And yes, it's story time. All right, James on the South Side. People behaving badly. Yeah, it's getting worse, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately. Okay, did you happen to catch that little where apparently there's a dispute over a Marvin Gaye song?
Oh, of course.
Actually, the writer, yeah.
Of
and
course.
I'm like thinking, this, I mean... Now they played on the news thing a little bit of both of them, and I knew what the not and I'm like thinking, well, yeah, you can see like the court, how the repetitive court thing in there, but I'm wondering whether okay, now Ed Sheeran, well, I've heard his music, he's kind of one of the few guys I can think of that of the more recent ones I can actually stand to actually listen to.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I haven't been paying much attention to it because these lawsuits come up and it really usually is the whim of a judge. And, sometimes the decisions are just so beyond the pale that I fail to understand them. When Dallas Frazier lost for Elvira because he put some nonsensical syllables that was just oom papa mau mau, and lost to the Rivingtons for that. Or I still don't get George Harrison losing to My Sweet Lord. Yeah, I know there's similarity, but there's only so many notes on the scale, for God's sake. So I
know, yeah,
it can go in any direction. And, however that judgment goes, I won't be surprised because it really comes down to whims rather than anything that is identifiable. One of the stories you brought up, by the way, I think answers some questions a lot of people were talking about. When that 6-year-old shot his first grade teacher, everybody said, what about the parents? And now a Virginia mother, the mother of the six-year-old, was booked after turning herself in, booked on felony child neglect and misdemeanor firearm problems. And so they say that the son... Yeah.
It was bound to happen.
Well, yeah, but
I mean,
we still don't understand how, and supposedly this child with development problems and autism or whatever, how the hell he got the gun. So, I think that's probably appropriate, but I want to hear the whole story, obviously.
Yeah, it's I can just imagine what's probably, they're probably saying, okay, it used to be when you go overseas, you said you were from Chicago, they say, oh, Al Capone, now, okay, they say, drive by, and then they say, okay, Chicago, have you infected Chicago, have you infected the rest of the country?
No, and yeah, I understand that there can be percentage-wise a disproportionate number, but no, this is equal opportunity from anywhere in the country. We have the Texas man who threw a chihuahua into a fire pit during a party. So, you know, this in Brownwood, this is not okay. Yeah. You know, and and it's a guy who a 49-year-old guy who grabbed his cousin's chihuahua and threw it into the fire pit, and it came out of nowhere. See, that's the part. They weren't having an argument.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I think I'll take the guy's chihuahua and throw it into the fire. The dog lived. They're saying, thankfully, I don't know. I don't know if it's thankful or
I'm
not.
Like, I think probably the only reason is because most chihuahuas, a lot of them are short hair.
Well.
At least that's what I'm thinking, maybe.
Well, I'm hoping that that ultimately the burns weren't severe, because if they were severe, that's very unfortunate that the dog lived. That's cruelty. You know.
Yeah.
So.
And then you hear about what the teachers who decide, you can understand why some teachers say, I'm not going back.
Oh, absolutely. They're between a rock and a hard place, no doubt about it. We have the school bus full of children driving past a dying woman's body. That was interesting in Connecticut. While the kids got a full view of the woman, and she lay dying in the driveway. And, yeah, that's a little...
Yeah, that'll shock their memory.
I guess. So, yeah, it's story after story. But, yeah, speaking of bus drivers, the one who quit after being abused by the kids, he received thousands of dollars in donations, and I can understand that. And but then we have the Texas, I think it was middle school teacher, who turned a classroom into a fight ring for students, and you're thinking, what is he thinking?
Yeah,
actually,
I mean,
she.
I'm like thinking, are you trying to, you're trying to get there, the aggressions out, or are you going just simply stoke them?
I can't imagine. She was a substitute teacher, was a woman, and it was Kimbrough Middle School in Mesquite, and one of the kids had a cell phone, so of course it's been taped, and that's how everybody was able to capture it. That's how everybody was able to see it. And, four kids fighting each other and a timer going off at different points. And the substitute saying 30 seconds before one fight began. This is just insanity.
Yeah, because I don't see how, okay, you have somebody where it really, where somebody gets seriously hurt, then I don't know how you can... And then here's the thing about this. Now, I'm just wondering if she's going to ever have a career in teaching.
You don't have to wonder. The answer to that is no. I can almost guarantee. Then we have a guy who warned police that he's going to pull a gun. But this story is not so clear cut, because obviously he shot and killed a 12-year-old boy, and that is not acceptable. But he had told Denver police in advance that he was armed, that he was tracking his car, that it was stolen, that he planned to intercept it, and he'd pull a gun on the car thief. And so it is that all that happened, and he killed a 12-year-old child. You cannot do that, obviously, but I think that there are, again, a number of people who get to that point where they just say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it. And again, I'm not apologizing or in any way justifying it, but I think that it serves to understand why this is happening, and it is unacceptable on every level.
Yeah, actually, you know, I was reminded of a Michael Douglas movie, Falling Down.
Okay.
Let me set the scenario. He was this engineer who had a bad day at work, a very bad day. I'm trying to remember where he got fired or something. Yeah, so he's heading home. He's got a shotgun. He's got some and like every that he has on the interaction that goes badly, he pretty much decides to pretty much, as the military used to say, plow the field. So we might say, it's such okay. Or let me give you a movie of a much older vintage.
John said that I remember Catch 22. John said I'm out of time. I don't know why, but I guess I am. So call me tomorrow night.
Okay,
thanks. Okay. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. So I guess I've been missing something. It, just in case, it is WGN Radio.